Chapter 1. The Light is What Happens. In the summer of 1991, Pam Reynolds Lowry, an Atlanta songwriter, developed a numbness in her fingers and suffered a recurrence of very bad migraines. No one exactly knew the cause of this numbness. Pam strummed the guitar almost constantly, so that could have been it. And the migraines might have been exacerbated by her cigarette habit that she never could manage to shake. But she also experienced extreme dizziness, which is why Butch Lowry, her companion at the time, accompanied her to a local neurologist who, after performing a CT scan, found the cause of these symptoms straight away. Inside Pam's skull, at the base of her brain, was a giant basilar aneurysm, a weakness in the wall of a large artery that caused it to balloon. If not remedied, and remedied within very short order, the aneurysm would likely burst and kill her. On the other hand, if it burst and didn't kill her, Pam was informed, she would probably be paralyzed for life. The probability of either of these eventualities occurring, 90%. So, there was a choice. Do something about it, or do nothing and say your prayers, Butch Lowry tells me. The songwriter was 35 at the time of her diagnosis, a particularly beautiful woman back then, slender and fragile. She had a cascade of sandy hair that framed a high forehead and a long, elegantly boned face. In her early 20s, when her hair was shorter, brushed and waved into a golden froth, Pam looked a lot like the television star Farrah Fawcett. In fact, back then, she did a bit of modeling and also had dreams of becoming a music star. But a decade later, those ambitions squelched, she was the mother of three young children, and after a disastrous first marriage that produced those children, was about to embark on her second marriage with Butch. Lowry, who had inherited a music publishing business from his late father, is quite open about the part he played in dampening Pam's ambitions. He did not particularly want his pretty girlfriend and future wife in the entertainment business. "It's a tough life," he tells me when we meet. "So many people want fame and fortune, and I've seen too many of them go downhill." He is a large, genial man of ample proportions, outgoing, garrulous, easy, and of late, quite wealthy. The house he now lives in, the one Pam selected for him, is also large and of ample proportions. Its thick wood furniture diminished by the vastness of its ceilings, the breadth of its rooms. You could not imagine a more improbable husband for Pam or a more unlikely setting for her to choose. In fact, she chose it too late to enjoy it. She would never live there. By the time of her frightening diagnosis, Pam had a number of regrets. But in one respect, she was lucky. She had Butch by her side, and he stayed by her side through everything before, during, and after her encounter with death. I met Pam almost immediately after I embarked on this project, and like most people who come across her, I was drawn not simply to the story of how she died on an operating table and then somehow, on being revived, recalled with perfect accuracy virtually everything that had happened while dead, but to her. I was drawn to